There simply is no one in heaven or earth like Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. He was God. And He became flesh and dwelt among us. His coming was proclaimed almost 6,000 years ago, or over 6,000 years ago now. His appearing on earth was witnessed by hundreds, thousands, believed on by many, and to this very day, 2,000 years later, we're still waiting for Him to come again. Jesus, the one and only. He was recognized as such by those who studied scriptures, like the writings from the prophets, especially from Moses and Michael and Daniel, in this case, the wise men who came from the east. They heard about the star that would rise up out of Jacob in the book of Numbers written by Moses. They found, learned that the town of Bethlehem would be the city from which that one would come. And from the book of Daniel, they figured out the exact time of His appearing. And so, when they saw the star, they came from the east. And what they knew from prophecy, that this Jesus was born to be king and ruler over God's people. And they knew that He was worthy of their worship. He was unique, and his birth was unique and an amazing and wonderful thing by the people who lived near and worked near Bethlehem, like the shepherds when He was born. They heard of the good tidings spoken to them by angels, and they believed. So they knew that this child that was born in Bethlehem was born to be the Christ, or the anointed one of God, the Lord and the Savior. They heard the angel proclaim the praises of God, and they knew that it was God that was making this come to pass. And they knew it was God that was making this known unto them. Jesus was decidedly different from anybody that I know and have ever heard of. And people who saw Him and heard Him at age 12, especially those worshipers and bystanders in the temple court in Jerusalem when Jesus was but 12 years old, which can be found in the second chapter of Luke, when they heard Him listening and questioning the greatest teachers in Israel of His day, they were amazed at His depth of understanding. They were astonished at the wisdom of His answers. Jesus was decidedly different based on the people who heard His teachings. Nicodemus was a prominent man, a ruler of the Jews, and he recognized that Jesus was a teacher that came from God by listening to the things He said. Others recognized that He spoke as one having an authority, which in my understanding, He had a command of the Scriptures. He knew what was important. He knew what they meant. And He knew the impact that God wanted to have on people. He was different because He had the integrity of a man who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. And there's a power in that, a commanding power in that. And Jesus talked about weighty matters, things that have a heavy impact on people, necessary things for us to know, the meaning and the purpose of life, how to please God, how to worship God, how to obtain eternal life, values that we should have, moral and ethical behaviors that we should display in our lives. Jesus was decidedly different in the eyes of the people who saw him perform his miracles, of which at least 33 are described in the gospel accounts. Nicodemus acknowledged this, saying that we know that no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Others, who said that? Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? His apostles, his disciples, when they were out on the Sea of Galilee. Since the world began, it has been unheard of. This is what the blind man who was born blind said in response to his attackers, really, accusers. It's never been heard of. This guy does things that simply have not been heard of since the world began. And he summarized it all. Common sense tells you if this man were not from God, he could do nothing like what he does. And that's the truth. That's what people who saw. Jesus was not just a prophet. When Lazarus died, his friend, and Jesus got there, his friend had been in the grave for 4 days. And Jesus went to that tomb and he spoke these words to his friend, Lazarus, come forth. And he, who had been dead 4 years, came forth from the grave, still wrapped in his clothes, grave clothes. And many of the Jews who had come there to grieve with Mary saw what Jesus did. And they believed in him at that time. Pilate, after examining the life and the facts presented to him by the Jews, said, I find no fault in this man. The centurion probably had witnessed Jesus flogging, his interrogation, his beating, his walk to the cross, to Calvary. And from the time he was nailed to that cross till he gave up the ghost. And then the earthquakes and all that happened, the sun darkening in the noonday sky, said, truly, this was the Son of God. Peter, after being with Jesus for some time, hearing him, seeing him, Jesus asked him, who do people say I am? Well, some think you're Elijah come back. Some think you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. They think you're a good teacher. They think you're a prophet. Who do you think I am? I think you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what he said. After hearing what Jesus had to say and seeing the things that he did. Thomas. What a remarkable statement. A man who had many doubts. And I can understand. I can understand having doubts about this remarkable story. This remarkable man. But when he had the proof, and it was proven to him beyond a shadow of doubt that this Jesus was the risen Christ, he acknowledged him as his Lord and his God. And you know what? We're still talking about Jesus today, 2,000 years later. In the last 3 months, we in this country and in a lot, probably about half the world, have acknowledged some of the key facts in the life of Jesus. 3 months ago, we were, as a people, many of us were celebrating the Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem. And this past week, we were acknowledging Jesus, the man on the cross. And today, Jesus, the man risen from the dead. We're still talking about these things. And he's had such an impact on the world The world is qualitatively better since His coming than it was before. And He has such an impact on our history that we as a people, a human race, have divided time into two eras. The era before He came and the era after His coming. First Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And really what he's talking about is our religion. And isn't that a controversial thing in the eyes of the world? In the eyes of the world, you can ask 10,000 people and they all pretty much have their own idea of what religion is. But in God's mind, there is no controversy. It consists of certain facts that God was manifested in the flesh. He was born like we are. He was justified in the Spirit, vindicated many times, verbally. The dove that appeared to him, the power which he worked miracles, you know. He had the Spirit of God without measure, which vindicated him. He was seen by angels. He created them. They saw his mighty works. He was ministered unto them. They proclaimed his coming, seen by angels. He was preached among the Gentiles. And this is another message that simply says he was preached to all people, Jew and Gentile. Believed on in the world, received up into glory. These are the facts. The gospel of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, I declare unto you the gospel, that which is preached. And here's an important thing. That word has to get out. It has to be spoken. In times past, God spoke to people through prophets or directly through His own voice. We talked about how at His birth, angels talk to Joseph. Angels talk to shepherds. But today, God talks to us through His Son. And that's the last word. And this gospel is the mechanism through which salvation comes to us. Unless you believed in vain. And this is something we're going to touch on a little bit later. Doesn't the world have a great controversy about what belief means? Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus. I'm saved. Just think of this for a minute. Do you think Satan believes in Jesus? Absolutely. So when he asks us to believe, he's asking us to believe like Noah believed. Noah was told by God that he was going to destroy that world as it was and everything in it except those who would take safety in the ark in which he was to build. Noah believed God and he got busy building an ark. That's what it means to believe God. I believe what you said is true, and I'm going to do what you asked me to do. We'll talk more about this later. Another fact, Christ died for our sins. We read that in Isaiah 53. We commemorated it this morning together through communion. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. This was not done in a vacuum. God announced it 4,000 years before the coming of Christ, and repeated that message through the voice of the prophets. And we have it here and verifiable. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to Scriptures again. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And that's what Jesus said, or that's what Paul said about the gospel of Christ. And it was delivered beginning in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost to the Jews and spread out into Judea, into Samaria, and from there unto the rest of the world. Why was so much written, you know, and this is a pretty good piece of work. A lot of words, a lot of stories. Why was so much written about what Jesus said and did? Well, John had this to say. Jesus did a whole lot more than what's recorded in this book. He said a lot more things than what's recorded in this book. But these things are recorded, written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that is a big step, fundamental step. Because if you acknowledge that He is the Christ, the Son of God, you're acknowledging He has authority. He has authority. He has a right to have things the way He wants them. And you should therefore learn what Jesus says and what Jesus wants and do what Jesus says and what Jesus likes. Because in believing, then you may have life in His name. You know, Satan believes everything is going to happen just as God said it would. He knows that Jesus is going to come again and there will be a final day. And in the end, He's going to be cast into hell forever with all His legions and all the people who did not obey. But if you hear this message and can bring yourself to believe it and commit yourself to it and obey it and follow it, that can lead you to eternal life and escape the fate that awaits Satan. So what did Jesus say? Now, that's more important than what I can say or anyone else. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus said this, "I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." As many received Him, in other words, believed Him, received Him, acknowledged Him, He gave them the right to become the children of God. See, that is the first step in the right direction, our belief. It's not the only step, but it's the first one, and then it's an important one. What did Jesus say? Well, we like the part about God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And if we believe that, we're saved. But Jesus also said, repent. Which means I need to make a change in my thinking, in my actions, in my behavior. I need to repent. I need to quit walking my way and start walking His way. Jesus said, repent. And that should lead you to the belief in the gospel should lead you to repentance. He also said how important this is, that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And you know what His disciples did? They went out and started preaching the message that people should repent. Jesus also said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So along with belief and repentance, now we have love and obedience. He also demands from us. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That's conditional. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You see, Jesus followed the will and the commandments of His Father. And He asked us to do likewise. Blessed are those who do His commandments. Two things, two facts are pointed out. You may have the right to the tree of life, which eternal life, and you may enter through the gates into the city, heaven. Jesus, and this is important. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. And the narrow gate isn't always the best one. I noticed as I was bringing food in the building, Paul opened the door for me. And we're at that tender age or condition where we can't hardly get through that little door. It's narrow. Or we didn't used to have a problem with it a few years ago, but we do now. It's more difficult. You have to make adjustments to accommodate the gate. He's not gonna widen that gate. You have to fit through it. Enter the narrow gate. The other gate, it's wide. No problem at all. You fit right in. Go right through it. No problem. It's broad. But you know what? It leads to destruction. And there are many, sadly, who go into it. The other gate, as we said, is narrow. It's more difficult because it requires self-discipline. It requires humility. You have to humble yourself to His will. You have to make changes to accommodate His will. But it leads to eternal life. And sadly, there's but a few who find it. Matthew 7:13. Not everyone who says to me, this is Jesus, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And this kind of goes back to the believing. Many believe that Jesus was a prophet, was the Christ, the Son of God. And that's about as far as they go. Who then shall enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, again, this is what Jesus says. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. And this implies a couple things. Number one, we got to find out what that is. And here's the instruction manual. And I like to tell people, read this Bible. This is God's letter to you. It tells you everything you need to know about eternal life and salvation. He who does the will of my Father, Matthew 7:21. Slides a little backwards. Jesus said this, talking about many of the people that He dealt with every day. These people, they draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they do worship me. So we've heard that you can have a belief that is in vain, does you no good. And you can also worship in a way that does you no good, and it is vain. Why? If you follow the teachings of men and the commandments of men, or if you just do what's right in your sight, your worship is in vain. So it is imperative that we give Jesus more than lip service or mental allegiance. It is imperative that we give Him sincere devotion and service, and that we worship Him in the right spirit and in the right way. Jesus is always the giver of good advice, and this is one. Hear what He says and understand. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you want eternal life in heaven, you have to go through Christ. You have to do it His way. Salvation is a process. Our Constitution, you can't go to one paragraph in our Constitution and get the sense of it all. You have to read the whole document. And that's kind of the way salvation is. It's a process that begins in believing Jesus, as we read in 3:16. It's a process that involves getting to know Him and loving Him and obeying Him. It is a process that requires repentance. You have to change your mind about a lot of things. You have to change a lot of your practices. That's what repentance is. Repent from my way and do it the Lord's way. You have to confess Jesus before men. You have to be baptized. And here is a key thing for me, Matthew 16:15, of what it means to hear and to understand. Jesus said in Matthew 16:15, he who believes and is baptized. We like the belief part. We don't like the baptism part so much. And the other part of that, baptism is immersion in water for the remission of sins. By definition of the word baptism, baptism means immersion into water. And by example, every example of baptism in the New Testament has this in common. People going into the water, people going out of the water, and people rising up from the water. That is what baptism is. There's a controversy in the world about baptism. There is no controversy in God's Word or Christ's commandment about baptism. And this is the key point. Hear and understand. Hear and understand. And that requires study. Requires study. Looking into it. And remaining faithful to the end. And that that involves a lot of things, talks about in a lot of different places, none any better than Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in those verses there. It's a process of us learning, of us maturing, serving, using our God-given abilities in His service. It involves all these things. So, briefly, to end, what would you say? What will you say to Jesus? Almost persuaded? Almost persuaded? Here's what I'm going to tell you up front. I've been in every one of these things. I've been there. I've been there where I almost could get off the fence, but not quite. Not quite there. Look into God's Word. And let me tell you this. Look at it this way. What do I have to lose by obeying every word in here? Nothing. But if you're wrong and you cast this away, you're going to lose your soul. So look into God's Word. It is perfectly capable and powerful enough to convert the soul and change your mind if you give it a chance. Maybe some more convenient time. I just got so much going on right now. Later. Talk to me later. I just don't want to think about it right now. I don't like thinking about those things. I don't like it. I want to do other things more. I love my life the way it is. I don't want to change. I don't need nothing else. I just don't care about those things anymore. I don't believe you. What will you say to Jesus? What will your answer be? This is what we suggest. I suggest. The Word suggests. Surrender to His will and to His way. And He will give you eternal life. And He will save your soul from hell. And so, why not now? Why not settle this here and now? And begin your new life in Christ with new hope for the future. Why not now? This is our invitation to you as we stand and sing our closing number, Brother Kevin.